Hallelujah. Good to see you all. Praise the Lord. So nice to be here. We're so excited to just have some time to see some familiar faces. And, you know, you're all our family to us. Amen. So whether that's why we don't need an internet. That's right. That's Jeff. That's funny. That's really good. It's good. It's good. My name's not Pete. You could say, or Peter. I could be Peter, and then she could be Repeater. Anyway, it doesn't work that way. Okay, I have really lame jokes. I know. So, praise the Lord. But it's good to be here, and so we're excited. Praise God. God is good. Amen. So this morning, I'm just going to dive right into this. I felt like the Lord put something on my heart to share with you, and this is a combination of some things that I feel like the Lord wants to share with you, as well as some things He's been sharing with me. And sometimes He gives me messages, you know, mainly for other people. And sometimes He gives me messages that are really things that He's currently really dealing with my heart about, as well as He wants to share that with others. So today it's kind of like that. So today what I'm going to share, if I titled the message, I would call it Walk, Stand, Sit. Walk, Stand, Sit. Or a subtitle to it would be, or Why Am I Not Living in Prosperity? All right, so we're going to look at the Word of God, what it says about this over in, you know, if I can get past this to work here, there we go. If we can go over to Psalm chapter 1, Psalm 1. And I was reading this, and I've read this psalm I don't know how many times in my life, so many times. But as I was looking at this, I began to think about this, and the Lord drew my attention to some things. Praise the Lord. So, believe God with me that I know He has some things that He wants to bring out, and I'm not sure all of what they are, praise God, but I believe He wants to bring them out in a way that is not so much pre-planned or, in other words, pre-known by me what He wants to say. And so today, Psalm 1, we're going to read this in verse 1. Oh, I'm reading New King James, yeah. And I'll probably read a couple of things from some other translations just to illustrate something, but New King James is what I'm using. And so Psalm 1 and verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." So that's where I get my title, Walk, Stand, Sit. And you'll notice that in the world, God is describing people here who are blessed. Why? Because, number one, they're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. They're not standing in the path of the sinners. And they're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. But what's amazing to me is this, is that there is a walk for us as believers. The Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40 that we'll walk and we'll run and we'll not be weary. We'll walk and we'll not faint. So there is a walk for the believer. There is a standing for the believer, because Ephesians 6 tells us, having done all to stand therefore in the evil day. So there's a standing for the believer. And there's also a sitting for the believer. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. Amen. On a throne. Praise the Lord. A place of rulership, a place of authority, also known as the throne of grace. We are seated with Him at that place. Hallelujah. So there is a walk, there is a standing, there is a sitting for the believer that is very different from that which you would find in the world. And He tells us, blessed is the man who does not walk in these ways, who does not stand in these areas, and who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But then He says this in verse 2, He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. And as I was looking at that, I began to think about this. And I realized this, that where you walk, where you stand, and where you sit are determined by what you desire and delight in. Amen. Where you walk, where you stand, and where you sit in life is determined by what you desire and by what you delight in. See, notice He's talking about His delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, as He goes on to describe this, He says that in His law, He meditates day and night. He meditates day and night. So there's something about this, about the meditation of the law. And when we say law, I mean the Word, basically. The meditation of the Word. That the meditation of the Word of God gets the word into us so that we will walk, stand, and sit in the right place in our walk with God. Hallelujah. And so when we look at this, then he begins to talk about the things that come, the blessings that come. Remember, he said, blessed is the man. So then he begins to describe what those blessings look like. And we see this found in verse number 3. And, boy, my iPad keeps jumping over to places. Here we go. Verse number 3, he says, he, the person who is blessed, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Hallelujah. How would you like to live in such a place where whatever you do prospers? Amen. This is available to us. This is God's plan for us. Jesus said it in John 10, verse 10. He said, I am come that you would have life and have life more abundantly. God said, for example, in 3 John, verse 2, that he desires above all things that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Now, when we talk about the subject of prosperity, we're not talking just about financial or material things, but we're talking about every area of our lives. We just heard some testimonies about some people that are experiencing physical prosperity. Amen. Their bodies are healed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's important. That's a part of this. When we talk about relationships and having healthy relationships with other people, well, that's an area of prosperity as well. Your job, being promoted in your job, being good things happening there. If you're going to school, what's happening there. All of these areas of our lives, God wants to prosper them. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to advance. He wants you to experience increase. He wants you to have divine favor upon your life. In every single area of your life, that whatever you do, he didn't say some things you do. He didn't say 90% of what you do. He said whatever you do will prosper. Amen. And if he put that in his word, then it must be possible for us to attain to that. It must be possible that we can actually experience that and have that in our life. And he tells us how right here. It's all right here before us. So he says that our delight is in the law of the Lord or in the word of God. Now, as we look at this, I'm going to show you some things along this line. But let me say this first of all, that so many people that I find are living far beneath their potential and rights in Christ. And it's simply because their desires are towards other things rather than the word of God. You see, if we would realign our desires to be towards the Word, that we just make the Word, the Word is so vital, the Word is so important, that we're pursuing after this. And I know in this church I'm probably preaching more to the choir when I say that, because I know you love the Word. I know you love the things of the Lord. Amen. But I want you to see what God has made available to you here in His Word. So notice that when he talked about this, he said that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, the tree speaks of maturity, because he didn't say an old scrawny bush at the side of the road. He didn't say a young tree. A tree, the way it's described here, is actually speaking of a maturity level. So what we can see is that God wants us in Christ to grow and to mature to a place where we're like a tree, where we're established, our roots go down deep. And I thought of this scripture when I was looking at this in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah, the 61st chapter, there we go, talks about some of these things. It says in verse number 3, he says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And then notice this, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God plants you. Isn't that amazing? What does that mean, that God plants you? Well, you know, in the natural, if you have a garden or you plant something out in your lawn or something like that, you don't just throw the seed out anywhere. You have a specific plan in mind. You have a purpose for that. And so you plant that seed because in your mind you're thinking, this is going to produce and this is going to look like this. And so in the same way that God plants us, we don't choose our planting. God chooses it. God places us in the body of Christ, where he wants us to be. God is the one who leads us and guides us. And so he has a specific plan for each one of us. And in that plan, there is a specific placement. He wants to place you. He has a place that you fit. Hallelujah. You're here in this church. I believe that because the Lord brought you here. He's placed you in this particular body. There's a plan that he has for you. And the plan for you is not just for you to receive something from him, although that's a huge part of that plan, but that plan also involves what you can give and actually what you're supplying, what you have to offer. Hallelujah. Because there are gifts and there are talents and there are things inside of each one of us that we can actually offer to the Lord. And so he plants us. But notice that he calls us trees of righteousness. And this is something that is so vital and important for us to understand, that we'll never attain to the level of spiritual maturity and growth in our life that we should unless we understand the truth about righteousness. That God has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're not a bunch of sinners, unholy, unworthy, terrible people. No, we've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We've been made holy by that blood. We've been sanctified, set apart by that blood. We've been brought into a union with the Lord where he is our Father and we are his children. And we have rights and privileges that have been granted to us because of this relationship that the world does not enjoy with God, but we do. And he calls all that, he puts that all under this heading of, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness, just simply, one way to put it would be this: we have right standing with him. God is not rejecting you this morning. He's not looking at your life and saying, oh boy, what a poor performer you are. Oh, my goodness, you know. He's not turning to the angel Gabriel and saying, oh, look at this one over here. He's not doing very good. And I, you know what? I'm just going to disassociate myself from him. He used to be my son, but he made a mistake. So God's not like that. He doesn't reject you. He said, you are accepted in the beloved. Amen. He accepts you in his children, in his family. And so when the Lord looks at your life, it is important to him that we're serving him. Yes, it is important to him that we're doing certain things. Jesus, in talking to the churches of Revelation, said to each one of them, I know your works. So he is looking at what we're doing. But sometimes what happens is, in our walk with the Lord, I find many Christians, they don't mean to do it, but they slip into this kind of a works mindset where they feel as though, I've got to do all these things, and if I do all these things, then I'll gain God's approval, and if I can gain his approval, he might bless me. But the blessings of God in your life are not based upon that. The blessings of God in your life are based upon the fact that Jesus paid the price for your sins. Jesus suffered and he rose from the dead, and now you're grafted into the family of God, and you get to partake of all the blessings that have been made available to Jesus, to the point that God says you're a joint heir with Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you're a joint heir with Jesus, all the things that he has, all the blessings he have, it's yours too. Amen. And it's not based on your performance. It's based on his performance. He did it for you. Now, where our part comes in on this, obviously we have to walk in a certain way. We have to be obedient to do what the Bible says. We understand that. So I'm not negating those things. But I just want to help you to understand this morning. God is not against you. If you came here this morning kind of feeling downcast, man, I had a rough week. I made some mistakes this week. I blew it. You know what? God forgives you. Hallelujah. God is in the business of forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation. He's not in the business of rejection because you made a mistake. Amen. This is good news. This is why the gospel is called good news. Hallelujah. Because it's good news. Praise the Lord. You know, so many people in the world, they try to tell us, God's against you. God's against you. Oh, boy, you never know what he's going to do. He's going to send some judgment on you. He's going to kill your dog and cat or do some terrible thing to you so that you can learn how to be a better Christian. Well, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, you can see real clearly God's not like that. Because Jesus said, I only do the things that I see my Father do. I only speak the words that my Father tells me to speak. So if that was the will of God, if that was how God teaches people to perfect them, to make them better, then Jesus would have laid hands on sick people to make them sick. Jesus would have ministered sickness and disease to people. As terrible as that sounds. No, he never did that. He never did that. After he rose from the dead, we don't see any of the apostles laying hands on healthy people to make them sick so they'll be a better Christian. Don't find it. Don't find it anywhere. Or some terrible tragedy. Let's pray for brother so-and-so. He needs to grow in Christ. Lord, send a tragedy his way. We don't see that. Why? Because it's not how God grows people. It's not how God perfects people. Amen. How does he grow and perfect people? With his word. With his word. His word is what causes us to change. His word is what causes us to grow. And if we'll learn to follow his word, we can grow in Christ and we can change in Christ. And we can do it in a way where we're not feeling condemnation or guilt or fear or unworthiness. But the word actually affirms to you, this is who you are. This is what you have. This is what the Lord has done for you. Amen. It's so important because in this day and age, I see so many people trying to perfect themselves with the arm of the flesh. And you'll never be able to do it. In another month, we'll have New Year's resolutions. That's a prime example. Oh, I resolve this year. And, you know, it's not bad to have some goals. I always set goals every year. But I'll tell you how I set my goals. I don't sit down and say, this is what I want to do. I sit down and say, Lord, what do you want me to work on this year? What do you want to accomplish? Last year, I felt this time of the year, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you, this next year, I want you to work on repositioning yourself spiritually because I have increase and blessing I want to bring to you. And so, started to work on that. And I look at it and I have to be honest. I say, well, I've made some progress. There's some growth there. That's wonderful. But I'm not where I want to be yet. So, you know, that's an ongoing thing. And so, you know, I'm open to the Lord. Lord, what about 2019? What do you want to do? What do you want me to work on this year? And it's interesting how I found that if I'll just do that, rather than try to make a bunch of New Year's resolutions, I'm more successful. Because he's there to help me. He's there to work with me. I'm working according to his plans. Not that it's bad to have goals. It's not bad to have goals. It's not bad to make some decisions on change and so forth. It's all good. But just be sure that when you do it, you're not doing it with the arm of the flesh. Because you can't change the flesh with your flesh. You can only change it with his divine power and enablement. Amen. And he wants to help us. Praise the Lord. So this first thing where he says, we are trees of righteousness. I just think this is so important that we have to establish that in our relationship with the Lord, there is no barrier between us. There's nothing against us. There's nothing between you and the Lord. There's perfect openness, perfect communion, perfect fellowship that you enjoy with him because of what he has done for you through Jesus. And God actually asks you, he actually welcomes you and beckons you to come into this relationship with him. Hallelujah, it's so wonderful. That's why he said in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. And you know, sometimes people have this idea, well, I feel like the Lord left me. I feel like he's forsaken me. But where does the Bible say that we're to live and walk by feelings and not by faith? You can't find that. It's not in the word. So you may feel as though you're not holy. You may feel as though you're not spiritual. You may feel as though, where is the Lord today? But he has not left you. And he'll never leave you. Never, ever, ever, ever will he leave you or forsake you. He's always with you. Amen. So in those moments when you don't feel it, that's when you just need to lift your hands and thank God. Thank you, Lord, you're with me. Thank you, Lord, you're an ever-present help in time of trouble. You never leave me or forsake. I'm so glad that you're in my life. So you need to reaffirm those truths. Why? Because that will change the way you feel. Feelings follow faith. And if you change the way if you focus on what the Word says and what the Bible says about your situation, then your feelings will reorient themselves to what you believe in the Word of God. Hallelujah. All right, so I'm not getting too far in what I had planned here. That's all under trees of righteousness. Hallelujah. But the second thing, notice this. So he talks about the tree, you know, that we are trees. And so that speaks of maturity in the Lord. And, okay, I can't get off that just yet. God is looking for, in this generation, a company, an army, really, of people called the body of Christ, but who will walk in the maturity that he wants for his body to walk in. And why is this so important? Because there are assignments. There are things that the Lord wants to do in the earth, and he needs people to carry them out. God doesn't just do things in the earth. He works through people. He's always done it this way. He's working through us. And so that's why we're called the body of Christ. Now, he's the head, but we're the body. And so he tells the body what to do. But why this is so important is that maturity will allow us to be able to do more. When I was really little, when I was just a little kid, I mean, I could do some things. I could help my parents around the house to some extent. But most of the time, I just made it worse for them. But I tried, you know, to help. But as I got older, I could do more. When I was really little, if the car got stuck because it was a snowy day and it was slippery and, you know, all of that, we're just kind of stuck in the snow, I could get out and help push. But I did what I could do, but it wasn't very much. But as I got older, I was stronger. I could do more. I could push more. And sometimes in some situations, by myself, I could push the car out of the ditch or out of the whatever it was in and so forth. I could never do that as a child. And so in the same way, as we grow and mature in the Lord, our capacity to do more increases. And see, what does that mean then? When you're doing more, you're becoming more fruitful. Amen. When you're more fruitful, you have more fruit that is accredited to your account. So that when you stand before the Lord, he will say, well done. You have done well. And he'll look at all the things that you've accomplished in your life, and you've got all of these things that the Lord has graciously allowed you to do, and he's worked through your life. And so great rewards and blessings come. So that's why it's so important for us. God is looking for mature believers. He's looking for people to grow. And we'll talk a little bit about what that looks like in a moment. But let's get to our second thing here. So we talked about the tree, but he says it's planted by rivers of living water. And the way that that's worded, planted, really speaks to me of being immovable, being immovable. God wants us to be established, to be immovable. What does that mean? It means that the winds or the storms of life, they don't move us. We're not moved by them. Why? Because we're planted. Our roots go deeply into the soil. And so notice where that it's planted. It's planted by rivers of water. Rivers of water speaks of living in a place of continuous refreshing from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know God designed that for you? That you can live in a relationship with him where you're continuously being refreshed by the Holy Spirit. You're continuously drinking of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And how do you do that? Well, a variety of ways, but one of the great ways, Pastor Shelley already told you, prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. Amen. Don't just pray and worship on Sunday morning, but do it every other day of the week too. Hallelujah. Because if we'll do this, we make a way for there to be a continuous refreshing taking place in our life. And our relationship with the Lord will never grow stale or dry. It will always be fresh and alive. That's what he's looking for. Hallelujah. Then it talks about in Psalm chapter 1, it talks about that this tree brings forth its fruit in every season. And I love how it, in the New King James that I read from there, let me get back over there again just to refresh this. It says that it brings forth its fruit in its season. But I was looking at this in another translation, and I really loved this, the Passion Translation. I've been reading a lot lately from that. And the Passion Translation says it like this, that we bring forth fruit in every season of our lives. Now think about that. Normally, there is a season for a particular fruit. So it's the season we expect to have a harvest. For example, let's just use corn. I know it's not a fruit. Okay, but anyway, we'll use that as an example. There is a season for the corn to come, and then it's harvested. But what this is telling us is that you can live your life in such a way that every season that you're in your life, you're producing something. Every season, regardless of the weather, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going on around you, you're constantly producing fruit. Every season, fruit, 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 fruit. That's the kind of fruitfulness that God is describing here. And that's available for us. Hallelujah. Why, it's so wonderful when we understand we can do this no matter what's going on in our life, in every season of our life. Then it says that the leaf shall not wither. And again, that speaks of there is no dryness in our lives. God wants us to live in such a relationship with Him that we experience no dryness. I remember, you know, when I was a younger believer, one of the first churches that I attended, they were really big on dry times. Really big. I mean, they had a whole doctrine on dry times. You know, and then they were real big on dry times, and also the gates of hell are coming after you. Those were the two big ones for us. So, you know, we would have testimony services, which really were complaint sessions. And so somebody get up and give their testimony / complaint. All week long, oh, it's been so tough. The devil's been after me. And they go on and on about how terrible it's been, and the gates of hell have been after me. And we'd almost feel like, you know, gates of hell are after you. Wow, you must really be an important Christian because the devil has the gates of hell. And we'd think like that. The only problem with that is it's completely unscriptural. Because when you read about the gates, I was reading it one time, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, did you ever notice that gates don't attack people? And then he said this, he said, did you ever notice that people do attack gates? And I began to see it, that what he was actually talking about was not that we're holding on, you know, because we're under some onslaught, but actually we're the ones doing the attacking. We're the offensive force. We're the aggressor. And we're making Satan so nervous and so terrified, he's trying to hold on. And he can't, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Amen. But then, you know, that we had this doctrine of dry times. And it was almost, again, it was almost like a spiritual badge. You know, we were like the Christian Boy Scouts. We had merit badges. So, you know, you got your merit badge for the gates of hell are after you. Then you got your merit badge for the dry times. Oh, you're just in a dry time. Oh, it's a dry time. I'm going through a dry time. Pray for me. I'm going through a dry time. And the problem with that is that the Lord never designed us for dryness. God designed us to be fruitful. God designed us for abundance. God designed us to be streams of living water to flow out of us. God designed you to be a spiritual oasis, not to creak every time you walk because you're so dry. but actually to be an oasis where other people can come around you and they get refreshed because there's rivers of living water flowing out of you. See, that's what God's designed us for. But we can't operate that way if we have a theology of dry times. So we used to have the dry time theology. And then I began to see this in the Word. God doesn't want us to, God wants us to walk in abundance. God wants us to walk in fruitfulness. God wants rivers of living water to flow out of us so that everywhere I go, people are encountering this. People are being refreshed. People are being blessed. Hallelujah. That's His will. That's His plan. Amen. So we see this, that our leaf will not wither. Then I thought of this scripture. It goes along with this. In John chapter 15, we can turn over there, John the 15th chapter. Jesus was talking here and said this in verse 7. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And really, I don't have time to go into all of this, but if you were to look at John 15, you'll notice that what the Lord is talking about, he says, I am the vine, you're the branches. And really, he's talking about being connected. He's talking about relationship. And I find the longer that I walk with the Lord, the more the time that has gone by, everything in the Lord flows out of relationship. And if we can just develop in our relationship with Him, so many issues that we experience in life would be taken care of. So many things that we're seeking Him about, we would get answers, we would get direction. Just by just focusing on, I want to just walk in fellowship and relationship with the Lord. I just want to be close to You. I just want to fall in love with You all over again. Amen. That if we would just pursue after Him like that, that He is the great love of our life, that He is the great passion of our hearts. There's so many things that we're saying, Lord, I've got this need. I've got this situation. I need an answer. I need wisdom. I need this. I need that. So many of those things would just be taken care of because all the answers that we need are found in Him. Amen. And if we just pursue after Him and fellowship with Him, so many things would change. Hallelujah. But you see, He wants us to understand this, that His design for our life is not dryness, but fruitfulness. And notice that what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 7, you will ask what you desire and it will be given to you. A little bit ago, we asked for some things that we desired. The Lord, through my wife, just gave an instruction to us. I'm here today, He said, to give you what you ask for. So ask. I tell you what, when the Lord gives you a blank check, have enough wisdom to start filling in the check and tell Him what you want. Amen. Because he's serious about this. He's not playing games. He's serious about this. He wants to do the things you're... And notice that Jesus said, ask what you desire. He didn't say, ask what I desire. He said, ask what you desire. Now, a lot of times Christians have problems with this. They say, yeah, but... And you got to be careful about the yeah, buts. The yeah, buts will defeat you in life. So watch out for the yeah, buts. They're not nice. But a lot of times people say this, yeah, but... How do I know that if I ask, I'm asking for the right reasons? Maybe I'm asking, it's a wrong desire. Well, Jesus just said right here. He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire. In other words, the closer that you walk with Him, your desires are swallowed up by His desires. Your heart begins to change. Everything in your life changes to the point where what He wants is what you want. It's like, I just want what You want, Lord. And so you're not going to ask for some crazy harebrained thing that's not His desire for you. Won't happen if you're abiding in Him and His words are abiding in you. Hallelujah. But at the same time, the Lord is actually saying this, you initiate through your desire what I'm going to do in your life. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart, He said in Psalms. Psalm 37, the Lord gives us the desires of our heart. Hallelujah. And so there are desires that we have for things. He wants to give those to you. Praise the Lord. He's not against you having your desires met. He wants to do those things for you because He's a good Father. Hallelujah. So we see this that Jesus was talking about this, and He said, notice that He said, whatever you desire. So in other words, every prayer that you pray gets answered. Wow, how awesome is that? Every time I pray, I get an answer from God. That's what He's saying. And it comes out of relationship, fellowship. See, so often what religion does is religion says, you've got to do all of this set of rules and principles. You've got to follow this procedure manual. Here's how you do it. It's a handbook. We've created a handbook for you. And if you'll do all of these steps, boom, 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 we almost treat God like He's a vending machine. And so we've got to go to the vending machine and put in the right amount of money and push the right button, pull the right lever, and out comes a little treat for us. And we almost treat Him that way sometimes. That's religion. Religion is man's effort to try to do things like this. But Christianity is relationship. It's all about relationship. And if you just walk in fellowship with Him, in so many ways you'll find... You just bypass all of those principles and all of those do's and all of those regulations and all of that, and you just simply say, Father, You're my Father. I'm Your child. I have a need. And you know what He says? Yes, I take care of that. Hallelujah. He does that for us. Why? Because of fellowship, because of relationship. Not because you're performing. Not because you're trying to do something and you've hit all the right things, you've crossed all the right places and so on and so forth. Because what happens is people get involved in a spiritual rat race. I see it all the time. Trying to do, and I've seen people who preach and teach on faith make faith a system of works that is very, very worksy, and you've got to do all these things in this order, and you got to do it like this, and it becomes very mechanical. And rather than just enjoying, I have a Father who loves me, and I believe that He cares for me, I believe that He takes care of me and meets my needs, rather than approaching Him that way, it's like, I've got to do all these things, first of all, and then second of all, then third, then I have to do, and it's almost like, what's that game we used to play? Twister. You ever play Twister? You know that game, old game Twister? You know, you get yourself contorted in some of the most ridiculous positions because you got to put your right hand on the orange and you got to put your right foot on the blue and, you know, and then you're crossing over other bodies and it's like a giant human pretzel by the time you're done. And there's a lot of that that happens in the body of Christ because people are trying to do, I got to do it this way. I got to. What would happen if we just simplified everything and said, I have a Father. He loves me. How much more my Heavenly Father will give to me what I ask for? Why? Because He's my Father. Amen. Rather than try to perform your way into blessing, you just receive the blessings that He's already said are yours because you're His child. Amen. Boy, it's kind of quiet here this morning. Am I stepping on toes here? What's going on? Some of you are looking real serious at me now. But see, this is something that happens. People get into this mentality, and they don't realize they've slipped into it. And then their whole relationship with the Lord becomes this system of performance and works and levers and buttons and all of that. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to understand the mechanics of faith. It's not. We need to know that. We need to understand that. Of course we do. But I think sometimes we have complicated things so much that rather than help people, we're actually hindering people. God is a God of simplicity. The more I walk with Him, the more I see this, how simple He is, how He makes it so easy for us. He just makes statements like this, whosoever will ask for whatsoever and it will be done. Okay, can I have a little more on that, Lord? Yeah, whatever you ask for, I'll do for you. I mean, He said it. You look through the statements Jesus made about prayer it over and over and over. You'll see it. That's what He said. Simple. Just absolutely simple. So why don't we just return to the simplicity of that rather than complicate things? See, what happens is human nature wants complication. If it's a little more effort, if it's a little more difficult, if I can just make it a little more challenging. We like a challenge. Okay, is it going to take effort? But you see, Jesus already expended so much effort on your behalf. Amen. He already provided for you. Do you realize the Bible says you're already blessed? That's what it says. You are blessed, the Bible says, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you realize the Bible already says you're healed? 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. God's already done things in our life that we're saying, Lord, I've got to work to try to get this, to get to a place where I can receive it. And He's already saying, what are you doing that for? I've already given it to you. It's already yours. Just receive. Why? You're my child. I love you. I've already given this to you. It's Christmas time. Do we? When the Amazon driver comes to your door with a package from a relative, do you tackle him? Saying, please give me the gift. Give me the God. No, we don't do that. Nor do we say, now I've done all of these things. I've gotten everything ready for you to come to give me the gift. I've shoveled the snow. I've fixed the driveway. I've done all of this. I've set out this for you. All of this so that you will bring me the gift. We don't do that. He just shows up and we go, praise the Lord, it's here. Let me have my gift. Amen. Why do we do that with the world and then with God? We make things so complicated sometimes. Why not just receive? Lord, you've healed my body. Thank you. Thank you that I'm healed. I receive it. Lord, I'm so grateful. Lord, you've blessed my finances. Thank you. Thank you that you're my provider. I receive that, Father. Lord, you're my peace giver. You give peace to me in the midst of storms. I just receive your peace. Why? Because I'm your child. Hallelujah. What if we would do that? I think it would revolutionize our lives. It would. It would. Praise the Lord. Some of you, the wheels are starting to turn. I can hear them. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Psalm 2 here. This is not coming out at all like I thought it was going to come out. Well, praise the Lord. All right, I got to get over there now too. Psalm chapter 1, we looked at verse 2, but look at verse 3 again. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Now, the key to this, though, is found in verse 2. What is our delight? What is the thing that we delight above all else? Because again, so many people are living far beneath their potential and rights in Christ simply because their desires are towards other things than the Word of God. See, this is telling us our delight is found in the Word. Do we delight in the Word today? Do we really delight? Do we make it like a, God, this is my delight? And when I read this, like I said, I've read this hundreds of times, but when I read this just recently, I said, Lord, I purpose in my heart that from this point onward, your word is my delight. That, Lord, I'm going to delight in this. But what does that mean, though? What does that mean to delight in the word? Because, you know, we have these Christian phrases that we use sometimes. You ever notice that we have our own language? I'm blessed. Shalom. You know, we have all these words we use, and that's fine. We understand each other because this is kind of our Christian language, our Christianese. But if we go out in the world, they don't understand us. If you're at the gas pump and you see somebody over in the next gas pump, you know they're not born again yet, and you say, Shalom. Unless they're Jewish, they don't understand you. What are you talking about? And you know, so many times we use words like this. So for example, we have this phrase sometimes we use, a word person. They're a word person, or they're a word church. What does that mean? Because actually, if you ask people what that means, if they say that, you ask 20 people, you'll probably get 20 different definitions. Because it means different things to different people. So I began to think about this, and I said, what does it actually mean to be a word person? What does that look like? or what would be the identifying characteristics so that I can see whether or not I am one of these? Because I'm pretty sure that it's a good idea to be a word person. I'm pretty sure it's good. But what is that? What does it look like? So I actually wrote down 8 things here. So fasten your seatbelts. I'll give them to you. The first one is, and these are all just things that you can look at and say, okay, that's a word person. They surround themselves with scriptures. So I thought about this. If we surround ourselves with the word, we read the word, we hear the word, we put them, some people put the word on cards around the house. They'll have scriptures. They'll go to the mirror and they'll see a scripture that's there. There's various ways of doing this, but you keep the word in front of you all the time so that it's constantly being presented to you. Secondly, number two, a word person has this characteristic that the word is where they turn immediately for answers, guidance, and wisdom. As soon as there's an issue that they're facing, they immediately turn to the Bible. What does the Bible say about this? I need answers. I need guidance. I need wisdom. It's all found in the word. So they turn to the word. Thirdly, a word person is like this. The word is their final authority and the basis and the foundation for every decision that they make in life. Now, you have to understand, that's challenging. Because, for example, the Word of God says to forgive those who do evil to you. And I've talked to some Christians, and I can think of a few instances. We've talked to people, and we said, you need to forgive this person. They did wrong to you. I can't. I won't. But you know the Bible says you're supposed to. I know it says that, but I can't. I won't. So that tells me right there, they're not walking in the Word. And if you're going to walk in the Word, it will challenge you. There will be times when you'll have to do something that you don't feel like doing, that you don't even want to do, but you have to simply because the Bible says so, like love your enemies. forgive those who do wrong things to you. And that's hard on our flesh, but that's what the Word does. The Word causes us to live in such a way that our flesh is continuously at a place of being offered a living sacrifice. It's the crucifixion of the flesh. Hallelujah. So that's something that you see in a word person. Number four, a word person is not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of it. Or we would say maybe a practitioner. They practice it. They put it into play. If they hear a message, they don't just say, oh, that was a good message, and then they set it on the shelf and forget all about it. No, they do it. They start doing what the word says. And I love this scripture. Let me read this to you. This is found in Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus was talking here in Matthew and gives us this wonderful, wonderful passage. I want to read this to you. Well, first I'll read it to you in New King James, and then I'm going to read it to you in the Message. So let me get there on my New King James version. Give me a second. All right, Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 24. And here he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came, descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, you'll notice two homeowners, two houses here. Both of them heard the same identical message. They heard the word of the Lord. But one of them did it, the other one did not do it. That was the only difference between these two people. One was a doer of the word, the other one was a hearer only, did not do. And so as a result of this, they both encountered the same storm, the same circumstances, the same problem, the same test. One of them stood and the other one fell. Now, look at this. I want to read this to you in, the Message translation. I love how the Message puts this. The Message translation says it this way. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Wow. So we can see from that the importance of being a doer of the word and what that means. Praise the Lord. But you see, God is looking for us not just to be a hearer, but a doer. All right, another characteristic of somebody that we would say this is a word person. Number five, they follow the word and they're obedient to do it even when it is not personally convenient for them to do so. Why am I doing this? Because the Bible says so. It's not convenient to me personally, but the Bible says, so therefore I do it. Number six, they've developed a love and a craving for the word. They crave the word. They love the word. I can't wait to read. I can't wait to look at what the word says and to hear this. Number seven, they fill their life up with it to the extent that it is always coming out of their mouth. Why? Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. I can tell real quickly what people are listening to and feeding on when I just listen to them talk. Because if they start telling me about the latest soap opera or television show. Now, again, you understand this. It's not bad or wrong necessarily to watch things on TV and to have entertainment. We're not against that. But if that's all we feed upon, then when the crisis of life comes, you're going to try to speak from that instead of what does the Bible say. See, we need to have what the Word says in our heart because that comes out then. Hallelujah. Then the last one, number eight. They spend so much time with the Word that they have little time left for trivial pursuits. Not the game Trivial Pursuits, but Trivial Pursuits. What do I mean by trivial pursuits? Well, by that what I mean is those things that are not important to life itself. And so that can be anything, and not necessarily bad things, but just things that, you know, we can make too much of it, and then we get too much doing that, and then not enough time that we're doing things that are the most important. And so it can be a variety of things. But what happens is this, is that people get caught up sometimes in doing things that entertain them or hobbies or whatever it might be, and they do so much of that, and then they neglect the Word. And what happens is this, to change that, it really comes to a place of desire in our life. And our desires change because we fall in love with the Word. So if we fall in love with the Word, our desires will change to the point that we would rather spend time in the Word than do anything else. So I'm not saying, so what I'm saying is this, I'm not saying, let me say it this way, I'm not saying, how do I say that? What I'm saying is this, that if you want to change this in your life, say for example you have a desire to do something and you know you're doing it too much and it's keeping you from the Word. And not necessarily that it's a bad thing in and of itself, but just that you're doing it too much. How do you change that? By falling in love with the Word. So as you, the more you just say, I'm going to purpose myself, I'm going to read the Word, I'm going to fall in love with the Word, I'm going to do this, the more you do that, your desires for things will change, and the Word will become your supreme desire. It'll become the thing you crave more than anything else, and those other things just fall by the wayside. Hallelujah. So you can actually do that in your life. Praise the Lord. God intends for every single Christian to live according to what he's showing us here in Psalm 1. But my question is, are you experiencing this in your life? Are you experiencing it to the level that you want to? And so I believe that God is simply just saying this, that he's challenging us this morning to really look at our own lives and just ask this question, how in love with the Word am I? How much do I love the Word? And it's not from a condemnation standpoint. He's not condemning us. If you're saying, man, my time with the Word has been so minimal, it's so shallow, I haven't done very well. Well, don't be under condemnation. That's not from the Lord. But let's make some changes. Let's as we move into a new era, a new year, let's make this, if we're going to make a goal, let's make this a goal. I'm going to spend more time in the Word. I'm going to get closer to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to have a greater relationship with him than I've ever had before. I'm going to fall in love with him like I've never been in love with him before. Those would be worthy goals to have as we look at this new year that's almost upon us. Amen. And I don't know about you, but that's my heart. That's my desire. Because you see, as we do that, he concludes by saying this, whatsoever he does will prosper. Everything we put our hand to will be successful. We'll be blessed in every area of our lives. Why? Because we're falling in love with him. We're falling in love with his Word. We're making that the greatest desire of our life more than anything else. Hallelujah. You see, this is his goal for all of us. So he's not trying to bring fear or condemnation or guilt upon anybody. He's just simply saying, look, this is available to you. If you're not walking in this right now, you can. Hallelujah. Don't feel bad that you're not, but let's make some changes. Let's make some adjustments. And if we'll do this, you can start walking. And in a year's time, we can come back and we can talk about this. And you can say, everything I'm putting my hand to do is prospering. Everything, I'm being successful in every area. I mean, I am so blessed. This is amazing. I don't know what to do with all the blessings. I have so many. Amen. God wants us to live like that. The blessed life. Oh, I love the blessed life. Why do I love the blessed life? It's a blessing. It's a blessing to live the blessed life. I've lived the not so blessed life, and I've lived the blessed life. The blessed life is better. Amen. Far better. Amen. And so what do we take away from this? Let's draw near to God. Let's draw near to his Word. And let's let his Word have this effect in our life. Now let me give you one other, just mention this, Isaiah 40 and verse 31. There's so much more I can give you, but I think you can study on your own and you'll find out some things. Joshua 1:8 is very good. Goes right along with this. Talks about meditating the Word and you'll make your way successful. You'll be prosperous and so forth. But Isaiah 40 and verse 31, I mentioned it earlier. It says, they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not be faint. That word wait is a beautiful Hebrew word. It literally means to bind together, to twist together. And the picture that's given is almost like two vines that become entangled with each other, so much so that you cannot separate them. Well, that's how we are to be with the Lord. our waiting upon him is that our life is intertwined with him. Our life becomes so tangled up with his life that you cannot distinguish which vine is which. It's just one. That's what he's looking for. And if we will grow in that relationship with him, we pursue after that. My goodness, what we can experience in our lives. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. Are you serious? We'll soar in the heavens. We'll be far above. We'll look down at things that used to be seem like a mountain in our life, and now we look down and say, that's really tiny. Our whole perspective changes. Our relationship with God becomes much more intimate and close. We'll run and not be weary. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm not going to get tired. I'm not going to go, man, I just wish Jesus would come back soon because I'm worn out. No, we run. We can run this race with strength and be successful at it. We can walk and not faint. All of this comes from relationship and fellowship with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray for each one that is here today. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I've done the very best I know how to share what I felt you put in my heart. Lord, I know that you're speaking to me. I know that you're speaking to others as well. Lord, you do not extend to us condemnation or fear. If we've missed it, Father God, we just simply acknowledge that we've missed it, and we say, Father, we're sorry, and we ask you for mercy and forgiveness. And we know that even as we do that, that you do forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we turn from that. We repent, Father. We purpose in our heart that from this moment, Father God, oh, hallelujah, we're going to see changes in our life. Lord, from this moment, we are making your word the delight, the love, the joy, the passion of our life. That, Lord, we are going to pursue after you and after your word like never before. We're going to, hallelujah. Why? Because you're bringing us up into the next level. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, thank you for that. Glory, glory, glory. So, Father, thank you right now that even as we're just praying these few moments together, Father, that people are making adjustments in their hearts. And, Lord, you'll help us. You'll help us. You'll help us to change the things that we need to change. And, Lord, it won't come with condemnation or fear or guilt or shame or any of that, but it's just an acknowledgement we need to grow. We need to rise up. And hallelujah, you're here to help us to do just that, Father. So Lord, in this next year, Father, as we approach this new year, Father, hallelujah, help each of us, Lord, to develop such a love and a passion for your word and for relationship and fellowship with you like never before. Hallelujah, that the things of this world would just, as your that old hymn says, the things of this earth would grow strangely dim. That, Father, it just wouldn't mean as much to us. Our focus has changed. Our desires have changed. Our hearts have changed. And, Lord, we thank you for doing that in us, Lord. Lord, we pray for every person here that you help us, Lord, in these areas to do this. And we thank you for it. We give you praise for it. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for these things. Hallelujah. Now, this came up in my heart while I began to pray. And I felt like the Lord was saying this. The reason why this message is so important for you is because there is a new season about to dawn upon you. There is a new time and a new season that is coming. And even as like an old book, the pages are turned from one chapter to the next. And so it is that the pages of your life are turning and you're about to turn into a new chapter, a new season, a new time. And you will see that in this new season, it is essential for you to have this understanding of my word, to rise up to a greater level of awareness and recognition and understanding of what my word says to you and what my word says about you. For if you will walk in the light of my word, and if you will be obedient to do what is written therein, you will see upon your life and in your life a greater increase. Hallelujah. Of the things of God, the blessings that I have for you, the rights and the privileges that are yours, you will walk in them in a greater measure than you have seen up to now. And you will experience abundance and you will experience provision in the areas of your life that you need help in. But it's important for you that you walk in the light of my word. For that which is to be done and this season that is upon you will require of you a stronger foundation, a stronger understanding of the scriptures. And as you walk in the light of those, you will see, hallelujah, breaking over you, breaking upon you, and even flowing through your life, a greater dimension of the presence of the Lord, a greater operation and manifestation of the Holy Ghost in your midst. Hallelujah. And you will know what to do. And you will understand and discern that which is of me, so that you know how to work with me and cooperate with me in my great and mighty plan. And it will be so that as this happens, and as you begin to see a greater expansion and development of these things, that the Word and the Spirit will work together, and many will be drawn to the brightness of your rising. For have I not said in my Word that my light will shine upon you? The light of my glory will come and rise upon you. But there is also this truth in my Word, that my Word is a light. And my Word is a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. And so as you walk in the Word and you walk in the Spirit, a great light will shine forth from your midst, a beacon, as it were, in this region, in this community. And there will be many who will be drawn. And there will be many who will come because the light will shine so brightly. And they will see that there is something that is happening that is of me in this place. They will see in your lives that which has happened, the transformations that have taken place. And they will be drawn to me because they see in you the light of God shining brightly through you. For my Word, hallelujah, shall expand and increase in your lives. And my glory shall rise strongly upon your lives. And not only will you see in your midst when you come together here, but as you go about your daily things, out in the community, in various places where you go, there will be moments of time where that light will shine so brightly and people around you will be touched by it. They will experience the effects of it. Just as you do that, what you are doing. Hallelujah. So draw near to me. Draw nearer to me and seek my face. Draw nearer to my Word and seek my Word, as it were a treasure, a great treasure of great value and worth. And you will see these things come to pass in your lives. You will see in this new season, in this new time, a greater dimension and operation and manifestation, a depth, a greater depth than you've seen before of my Spirit, of my Word, working together, hallelujah, and great and mighty signs and wonders being done to my glory, hallelujah, through your lives. Father, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, it's such a privilege. Oh my, such a privilege to be in your family for such a time as this, Lord. My. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just surrender. I surrender myself to you, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We surrender to you. We yield to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're pressing in. We're pressing in. Even as we sang about it earlier, we're pressing in. We're not giving up. We're pressing in. Ha-ha. There's greater things ahead for us, Lord. Oh, my. If it could be shown to you, if you could see it with your eyes and see it so clearly, oh, my, that which is about to be, goodness, thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Lord, such a privilege, Lord. So, Father, we're going to walk in the light of your Word. We're going to walk in this. We're going to, Lord, oh, my, we're going to make the Word have a place in our lives like we've never had it be before, Father God, and we're going to pursue after that fellowship and relationship with you. Lord, you are our first love. We love you. We love you so much, Lord. So thankful, Lord. So thankful, Father, that you're my Father. So thankful, Jesus, that you're my Savior. You're my Lord. So thankful, Holy Spirit, that you live in me. Hallelujah. You lead me. You guide me. You help me. You show me things. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you that we're not alone. You're always with us, Lord. Hallelujah. And you're helping us. Hallelujah. You're helping us. When we don't know what to do, you know. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Good things are coming. Good things. Wonderful things. My goodness, Father. Such blessings. Such favor. Hallelujah. For everyone. Every one of us, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Yeah, 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 that's right. Your word says that, Lord. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drop fatness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you that as, oh my, not just the year beginning or the year ending, but the entire year, 12 months, are crowned with your goodness, and your paths that you have us walking on drop fatness. Glory to God. Prosperity, blessing, and abundance everywhere we walk in you as we follow you. Thank you, Lord. My goodness, the provision. And not just financial, not just material, but every area of our lives, that you make that available to us. It's ours for the taking, for the receiving. Thank you, Father. We're going to walk with you. Hallelujah. We're going to see it too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah.